Okay, the Siyata Deshmaya, I hope to get through all the topics in Simon Pei Zion up into Maimid. We'll start off actually a little bit out of order because it will be a good continuation of what we had spoken about last year in terms of Mechalov. We're going to start with Sif Yud Aleph and then we'll get to the Siyata Deshmaya to Chumash Ramah. We'll be following along the outline that you have in front of you in the booklet. So in Simon Pei Zion, Sif Ches. The Mechaber says as follows: Yesh Mishi Omer, the Nisyu Bechalba. There's some who say Nisyu Bechalba. By the way, this Yesh Mishi Omer is halacha and a standard psak. We'll explain shortly why the Mechaber used the term, at least on its most basic level, Yesh Mishi Omer. Although I'm still bothered at the end of the day why he introduced in Shulchan Aruch Yesh Mishi Omer. But there are some who say Nisyu Bechalba. What is Nisyu Bechalba? Pirush, Cholav HaMischametzes B'Kipon HaGvina. In the process of curdling, in the cheese making, so then the chemicals begin to do their reactions and you have separation that takes place. You have the cheese and then you have the whey, as we discussed last time. So says the Mechaber from the Rush, Einam Bechlal Mechalav. This is not included in Mechalav. This Nisyu Bechalba is not Mechalav, V'Aser Min HaTorah. What does he mean? It's not included in Mechalav. So we learned in Pei Zayin Vav that Mechalav is going to be in Iser Derabanan to cook because it's not considered the milk itself. So when you have the milk that curdles and it becomes cheese and then you have the stuff that's on the side, so then in such a case, that is considered still milk itself and it's not called Mechalav and therefore it's going to Asim Torah. Ella, what is Mechalav that we learn in Sivvav? Hainu achar she'osim agvina, after they make the cheese, mevashlim hanisyuba, they cook the nisyuba, in other words, the separated whey from the cheese, va'ochel tzaf milamala, v'lo nishar bo elamayim ba'alma. Then when you cook it again, as we described last time, so then in such a case, zehu hanikra mechalav, this is what's called mechalav. So this opinion is going to be consistent with everything that we've learned up until now. We had a discussion in the Shach about Mei Mechalav. This is the basic idea. The basic idea is that when you have the cheese itself, the whey that's sitting next to it, Al-Pidin, is considered Chalav. That is going to be considered Chalav. That is what we refer to. This Nisyu Bechalba is referred to in Simen Pei Aleph as Mechalav. And when the Mechaber over here says Mechalav, it's what we refer to in Simen Pei Aleph as Mechalav. Okay? So what you have Nisyu Bechalba. Nisyu Bechalba is what we referred to last week as Mechalav. It's the secondary. It's a secondary thing. And then what comes out of it, that's Mechalav. Chalav. Okay, so that, yes.
Can we do the
Chumash of the Ramah? I start off in the introduction that I just wanted to continue. Sure. That I wanted to continue with the last topic so that it'll be more organized for you, and we're going to get to the Ramah Amir Sashem. So that is what the Mechaber tells us. Why does the Mechaber say Yesh Mishi Omer? So the Bali Tosos, as quoted by the Beis Yosef, are of the opinion, on Kuf Yudalid, they're of the opinion that the moment in which you have something that's separated from the cheese, that's already not milk. Milk is what you get from the cow. Anything that became one step removed, that already, that Nisyu Bechalba, is not going to be considered Chalav at all. So I wanted to emphasize this, even though there are really no nafkaminas that are lemaisa from it. I think last time I learned it, I didn't even go through it with the guys, but when one of the Talmidim was learning this, he was bothered exactly was the Nisyu Bechalba, was Mechalba, and how does it add up? So that's how it adds up. Over here, Nisyu Bechalba is what's referred to, that we referred to last time, is Mechalav, and the next thing you have is Mei Mechalav. The Yesh Misha Omer is just, that happens to be the Bali Tosis hold, that anything that became a secondary result is by definition something that is going to be considered mechalav and potter. However, the Rush says not that way. The Rush says that what separates in the cheese making process, that's mamish chalav itself. You have to cook it again, and then in such a case, that would be considered the mechalav that is potter, which we called mei mechalav last week, which last week we discussed in the shach. Then is that aver min achai or is that not aver min achai? Because it's not chalav anymore, then it should be aver min achai. So terms could be confusing, but the facts are actually very straightforward. So that's the Yesh Misha Omer, and that's what's going on in regards to mechalav and mei mechalav, and we have a dover hanishlam. Now, b'siyata d'shmaya, to continue with trying to create a dover hamushlam, let us can try to do all of the Ramah's chumras in one sitting, and hopefully a lot more as well, without rushing. These Ramah's chumras are fascinating. There's much debate amongst the Achronim how to explain it. And let's do echad echad. The Ramah essentially has three chumras that he introduces over here in regards to Shailas Abasar B'chalav, that he concedes, we're going to start backwards. The Ramah concedes at the end of Siv Vav that Bidyeved ain't lochush becholze, that Bidyeved you don't have to be concerned. In other words, if such an event happens, that you have these shampoos that are mixed together, etc., etc., we'll explain all that, what that means. Bidyeved you don't, it's fine, but lichatchila, it is a chumra ba'alma, and hamekel lo hifsid. So, as Reborim pointed out, in being Masber, every learning the Ramah, we're going to also have to explain why your Choshesh, and yet at the same time, we're Mekel Lamaisa. In other words, where is this gray area? We have to qualify what the gray area is going to be in the Ramah. Essentially, the Ramah has three Chumras over here. The Ramah says, starting with number one, right next to the Yud Ches and the Shach, Yesh Oimrim, the Asa Lachto Yisa'esh Tachas Kedera Shel Goy, it's prohibited to stoke the coals under a pot that belongs to a Gentile. If you're going to stoke the coals, so then the kedera of the guy, at times they cook milchiks in it, at times they cook fleishiks in it, and then you have a chash of bishul basar b'chalav. We mentioned already the first topic that immediately emerges from this Ramah is a topic that we touched on in the first shiur, and that is the Ramah telling us that there's bishul achar bishul? Because presumably, the food has already been cooked. So why is it that the Ramah says that you're going to be chayiv? Don't we have a rule from Hilchos Shabbos of ein bishul achar bishul? So just to review very briefly, the Reb Shlomo Egrin of Katan Yud says that we see that there is bishul achar bishul when it comes to basar b'chalav, and the mahalach of the pre-Megadim seems to be, and it was said more precisely, or more clearly, by both of my rabbeim in Isser v'Heter, Rav Ganak and Rav Miller, and I think both of them were inspired from the Rav, to suggest that over here we're talking about an instance where you might have something that was cooked, but they hadn't yet been cooked together. The basar and chalav hadn't been cooked together. So therefore, the Prima Gadim says as follows. You could have a case, the Prima Gadim spells this out in Sifkot and Yud Ches, you could have a case in which the goy is now cooking fleishiks, and that fleishiks might have been already cooked. It might have reached already Shir Michael Ben Rusai, it might have even been Mavushal called Sarko, and you had the blios that are inside the pot. So you could have argued that in such a case, then you're going to have bishul achar bishul, but since they haven't been cooked together, the fleishiks and milchiks have not been cooked together, that's going to be the iser of bishul basar b'chalav. So the Jew who stokes the coals in such an instance will be over the iser of bishul basar b'chalav. So that is the chash over here. That chash I alluded to before is a chash that would still apply today. There are instances where people are involved in preparing food that includes also food of Gentiles. You would have to make a cheshbon if there is a possibility of bishul basar b'chalav. Somebody asked me to clarify a little bit more what we had alluded to last time. I gave the example of if you have food that had not been milchiks and fleishiks that had not been cooked together, so then in such a case, for a guy, So then in such a case, if you were heating up in the same stove, so then in such an instance, that would be a chash, a stewardess on an airline. So in such a case, if there was food that was basar b'chalav, had that food been cooked together or not? If it had been cooked together, so then according to the Prima Gadim and others, it's going to be fine. According to Rav Shlomo Eger, even if it's already cooked, then that's going to be a chash. The shach introduces a new level of chumrah on top of this. The shach in Sifkaton Yud Ches says the following. He adds a new chash. Ubimardachi kasav she'asar levashel basar bebeis Yisrael b'kedera shel goy shema yechata Yisrael v'kach tzarech l'shvachos goyo shtei kederos achas shel basar v'achas shel chalav v'chein pasak b'toras chatas. Miu basar lav dafka. Elohu adin shar dvarim dizil basar taima. So the shach in his opening line seems to be quoting from the Mardachi the same din that we saw in the Ramah. But the shach in the end adds something else. He says, even if it isn't basar, in other words, the case was that you had the chash, that the guy is going to have basar, and he's going to end up cooking either basar and chalav mamish together, or basar in a pot, which is chalav. So then in such a case, that would be derech bishul, and that would be a chash. However, the shach says, what happens if you have just tam? What happens if you have just tam? That you have an instance where you have an item which has tam chalav, and the pot itself is not one of chalav, it's one of basar. So you have tam chalav and tam basar. So there, the shach says, there are some who are machmir. Miu ein bazeh el chumra ba'alma ve'ein ha'olam nizar bazeh. That far, we're not going to be choshesh. That far, we're not going to be concerned to go that far. So, according to the shach, what emerges is as follows. If you have basar or chalav, and you're cooking in a pot with blios, so then in such a case, the Prima Gadim is of the opinion, this is how the Prima Gadim breaks down our sugya, that would be considered derech bishul. By the way, you could have argued that that's also not derech bishul. But the Prima Gadim proves, he has some conclusive proofs, that that's going to be considered derech bishul, and that would you be over bishul. Not only would you create basar b'chalav, but it would be considered an iser bishul. However, if you only have tamim inside, so then in such a case, zil basar taima ve'enazeh el chumra. You're going to go basar tam, but that's going to be the chumra ba'alma. So, one way of understanding the Ramah is that the Ramah was actually also referring to the chumra that the shach had said. That the Ramah says that this is chumras ba'alma, he's referring to a case where you have blios. If you have real basar, then that would be Asar Meikur Dedina. However, if we're talking about Blios, so then in such a case, the Ramah says, HaMeikur Lo Hifsid, because that's not going to be considered Derech Bishul, as the Prima Gadim spells out in Sifkaton Yulchas. So far so good, Rabosai? So far so good. Beautiful. Okay. Comes along Rabbi Akiva Eger in Sifkaton Yudalid, and Rabbi Akiva Eger opens up a beautiful Pandora's box. A beautiful Pandora's box that I hope you're going to come back to, Amir Tzah Hashem, both when you do Chazar on Basar B'chalav, as well as when you learn Hilchos Shabbos. Let's do Rabbi Akiva Eger inside and see Rabbi Akiva Eger's famous discussion. Asks Rabbi Akiva Eger, in this case that we've been talking about, in a Jewish home, that the Shvachos have meat cooking in a Milchik Dikah pot, if that's what we're talking about, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, wait a second, the Jew who's stoking the coals is doing it, why? The Jew who's stoking the coals is doing it because he wants to cook his own food. So why isn't this a case of Dover Shena Miskaving? It should be a case in which it's going to be mutter, because we know in Hilchos Shabbos that it's going to be mutter. Let me read the Kasher of Daniel, and then I'll take your Ha'ara. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, in my edition, it's Sifkat and Yudal, if it's in a different number, please scream it out in the other edition. Kashali, ha'ena mechavin levashel rak lachtos be'esh, upsik reisha lo have, deshema lo bishel anachri bakdera basar v'gam chalav. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, you don't know that it's a pot of basar v'chalav. If you knew, so then in such a case you'd run into the problem of Psik reisha. Psik reisha means that it's going to happen. Inevitably, that's not davar sheino miskaven. However, in this case, you don't know for sure. So then, in such an instance, that should qualify as davar sheino miskaven, and therefore mot. Yes, Daniel?
Just a question of mitzias.
Absolutely. Sure.
You have like a bunch of coals, and the manager has a pot on the coal, and then the
correct
has his pot on the same coals, and by stoking the coals for his pot, he's going to end up
correct.
Also.
Correct. If you read the tshuvas of the Rishonim, you will see that it was extremely common. Now you go to a Best Western, so what do you share with the guy? The only thing you share with the guy is the ice maker. But once upon a time, every life, all human life revolved around the stove. And in a Best Western, in those days, so everything revolved around the stove. What did people do? They warmed up by the stove. They also warmed up their food. So what happened was that just like everybody uses the ice maker or use the fridge, that would be the example. Nowadays, everybody has a microwave in their room. But once upon a time, everything revolved around this big stove in the lobby of the hotel. So what happened over there? So there were people playing cards. There were other people. There were Jews selling to the guy in whiskey. And the other thing that was taking place, so that was because that was the only thing they let us do in medieval Europe, that and lend money. So because we couldn't own land. So at this big collective oven, so then you have the goyim that have their food and the Jews who have their food. Now comes Rabbi Kiva Eger, and Rabbi Kiva Eger stokes his food, which is double wrapped. It's Eda Charedis, OU, depends on which community you ask what Hashkacha Rabbi Kiva Eger ate. But at the end of the day, he stokes his food. But it's not a problem with Hilchos Kashrus mitzad the Blios. The problem is going to be for Rabbi Kiva Eger is that over there there's also a goy's food. But asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, that was already what the Marival and others were worried about. Goes Mardachi. But at the end of the day, it's a ain't a miskaving. Comes on Rabbi Kiva Eger and he answers. V'nir v'tzarach loymar. The dafka b'safik de lahaba shem lo yeh kein nasa kein b'maisa shelo. Kemo gor kisa v'safso. Davi safik shem b'grei rasa liyasa guma. The rule of dover shein miskaving is only if you don't know if it's going to happen. There's no way for you to know. When you drag, the classic case of Davar Shein Miskaven is you're dragging a bench from one place to the next, and you're not sure if it's going to make a hole. Aval besafek the avar. But if you have a safek that you don't know what exists, what we would call a safek in Metzius, kamo hacha, de im yesh b'kedera zu balua basar v'chala b'chitu yzeh b'vadai yispashel. Then in such a case, it will certainly get cooked. So then in such a case, that is not the heter of Davar Shein Miskaven. If you have a Davar Shein Miskaven where it's not your intention, but you're not sure because of the Metzius, you know for sure that you're going to be cooking if there is Basar V'Chalav there. You know for sure you're not going to be cooking Basar V'Chalav. It's not there. So the only question that we have is to verify the Metzius. That's not the same thing as Davar Shein Miskaven by Greir Asafsel. Greir Asafsel is not a question of you're not sure it's there. 50% of the time, when you drag the bench, it makes a hole. 50% of the time, it doesn't make a hole. So, in contrast to here, 100% of the time, if there's basar v'chalav there, it will cook it. And 0% of the time, if it's not there, is it going to cook it. So, in such a case, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's not going to be the case of psik reisha. Rabbi Kiva Eger then goes on, and he famously is told in the famous machlokis between the Aruch and the Ri about psik reisha delo nichale. Psik reisha delo nichale means as follows. The Aruch says that if I'm pulling out, the Aruch in Ksuba says, that if I'm pulling out a rag that's inside of a barrel, and I'm going to do schita by pulling out the rag, but the water that comes out falls onto the ground, so it's lo nichale. So the Aruch says that that's also going to be mutter als davar she'enu miskaven. Because it's lo nichali, I'm not interested in that result. I need to be interested in that result. The Ri disagrees, the Ri holds that psik reisha lo nichali is going to be at least aser. So, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, maybe there's room to be makel in this shaila because of psik reisha lo nichali. If we paskin like the Aruch, so then in such a case, then there might be room to be makel. But if we paskin like the Ri, then in such a case, one would have to be machmir. So what do we have? We have that Rabbi Kiva Eger says that this chumrah is going to be talui in the Aruch and the Ri. Which means right now, maybe the Chumrah of the Ramah, according to what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is setting up, is that he's being Nota Lekula like the Aruch. But then Rabbi Akiva Eiger finds a way to be Mekel even according to the Ri. Continues Rabbi Akiva Eiger by Achein Ladas Hataz. Everybody have it? Achein Ladas Hataz. It's right after Vayim Magen Avram. Achein Ladas Hataz Shekosev Sham Ladas Hatur. Benoa Lateva V'Safek Im Yesh Zvuvim. What happens? The Taz has an interesting heter. If someone closes the door of a chest and he's not sure if there's flies inside, he wants to close the door of the chest, the toy chest, let's say, but he's not sure if there are flies inside. D'mutter l'noilot, says the Taz, it's mutter. D'ava dover shein miskavim, v'af d'avi psik reishim, b'kol mokom dilma ein sham zvuvim, v'lo avi psik reishim, maybe there aren't going to be flies over there. So then in such a case, says the Taz, it's going to be mutter. The Taz learns that what's referred to, the way this Taz is referred to in halacha, is safek psik reishe. If you're not sure if it's going to happen, says the Taz, safek psik reishe is going to be mutter. That's what the Taz paskins. It says, yes, safek imetzius, right. It's coming back. He's coming back to his original question. He's coming back and saying, originally he said that if it's suffering in Metzius, it shouldn't be called Odover Shein Miskave. Now he's being Choser. He says, wait a second, I found a Taz that's going to be Mekel. It's the same thing as a Psik Resha Lisha Avar. In Kain, Lechora Benidon, Didon, Heter Gomer, Do'ainu Miskave, Nevashel, Kli Shel Nachri, Ve'efshir, De'ain Besochel, Klau, Blua, Basa, Becholav, Lohavi, Psik Resha. So in such a case, he says that would not be a Psik Resha. It could be, then, that the Ramah's Chumrah versus V'hameikah lo ifsid is that the Ramah, this would be a raya that the Ramah, Mikra Dedina goes, like, this would be how Rabbi Akiva Eiger might understand it, that the Ramah is going against the Taz, which, by the way, there might be rayas in the Mishnah Berurah does not paskin like the Taz in Hilchos Shabbos. There are mashmos that the Ramah doesn't go with the Taz in Hilchos Shabbos. The Taz wouldn't agree with that, but there are. The Mishnah Berurah himself points out that way, particularly when it comes to Dinei Doraisa, and even the Taz himself might only be Mekel on Dinei Dorabanan and not Dinei Doraisa. So it could very well be that at the end of the day, to use this Svara, this might be a Svara that would be a Bidyeva Dikis Svara, but not a Lechatchila Dikis Svara, and that's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is creating. And hence Rabbi Akiva Eiger concludes, Kasafti Zeh Shalol Yes Yisr Chomer Ki Kemati Yevsher Lizar Ovrei Drachim. That's where I got that drama from about the Best Western and Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, it's Metzius Kol Yom, Ad Kedekach Ki Yevsher Lizar Ovrei Drachim, that it was so common to have this Shaila come up. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that even though the Ramah had suggested L'chatchila to be Machmir, he found the way out, and that is maybe there is room to take the Taz's Svara even to be Matir in Isur Doraisa, even though we pointed out in Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah argues that even the Taz would not be Mekel by Isur Doraisa. In Hilchos Shabbos, we went through the Lamdos. There's a lot of Lamdos over here that we glossed over. If anybody would like to discuss it with me after Shir, the Lamdas of Safik Psik Reishe, the Lamdas of Psik Reishe Deloi Nichale, we touched on it in Hilchos Shabbos, and Iyun Shirim, we spent a lot of time on it. It would be my pleasure to discuss during Seder, but I want to make sure that we know the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim. Yeah?
I'm confused with the end of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if this is just the Chumrah.
What's that?
If this is just the Chumrah, then today I'm confused with the end of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Even if the Ramah does pass like the Taz, it could still
be Matzah. Right? Like, okay. At the end of the day, we conclude that really this is an issue because we don't follow Sefer Psikresha and it's Mutter, then
this should be
Asr,
not just the Ramah, no?
Correct. No, correct. In other words, Gufa the Ramah is struggling with this Psak. In other words, the Ramah is going with the Taz, but when he says, L'chatchila to be Machmir, is because the Taz is a big Chiddush. So this would be, according to the way Rabbi Akiva Eiger is setting it up, that would be the way to go.
Is it clear that everybody understands in the Ramah that all of these are just a Chumrah, and that when he says that it's a Chumrah, that's not the last piece that he brings?
I thought so.
Kol Eilu.
Yeah.
Says
Kol Eilu? Bechol Zeh. Ein Lachosh Bechol Zeh. Okay, so that's one part of Rabbi Kiva Eiger on the first Chumrah. Rabbi Kiva Eiger also continues on and makes another Ha'ara, which is an important Ha'ara, and that is that there's another reason to be Makel over here. And this would be another reason why we would have, on the one hand, a Chshash, yet at the same time, it be only a Chshash and not Mi'akr Dedina. Rabbi Kiva Eiger says, Gam Yesh Lodun, continuing on about... By the way, this Rabbi Kiva Eiger, I don't think was broken up by the printer properly. There's no period before Gam Yesh Lodun. It could just as well be a new paragraph. It could be even a new os. So you should put... You have period. Oh, they've improved things. Gam Yesh Lodun. D'stam kli shel nachri eina ben yoma. We have a rule, Rabosai. That is, stam kelim are not bnei yoman. Stam kelim, if you have a kli, let's say you have a shiloh. This is very, very important. We haven't really started halach lemaisa yet. We're going to. Eventually we're going to get into halach lemaisa. We're sort of dropping different klalim to put in your pocket. So here, Rabosai, here is one of the most important klalim to put in your pocket when you have a basar b'chal of shiloh. And that is, you could take care of 90% of most basar b'chal of shilohs. In other words, a woman's going to call up and she's going to think that she has a shiloh. Maybe 90% is a little bit of exaggeration. But for sure, 50% of all the shiloh, you could act like you're a very, very big expert. All you have to have done is come to 5 shiurim and basar b'chalav, and you could solve 50% of all basar b'chalav shilohs. And that is the kli a ben yomo? If the kli is not a ben yomo, so then in such a case, then the halacha is that any food that's going to be inside is going to be mutter. So you could be mutter the food. Now the kli, you're still going to have to deal with it. But that's the first step. The first question is, you know, like in Nida, the first question is Hargasha. You got to solve what is the status of Hargasha for Nida. So for the parallel in Basar B'chalav and Taruvas, is you got to clarify Einu Ben Yomo. So those are the two fundamental questions of getting it out of the Daraisa. If it's no Hargasha, you got it out of the Daraisa. If it's not Ben Yomo, you got it out of the Daraisa. So that will solve 50% of all of the shaylos. That's not to say that there are many other details for sure that you could mess up in just with an Eina Ben Yomo. But as a rule, this is something that Nikot Haklal Biyotcha. So says Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Wait a second, we forgot about this basic klal. So the guy's pot that's milchix and he's cooking fleishiks inside, but it's an Eina Ben Yomo. So if it's an Eina Ben Yomo, so you won't have Bishul Daraisa. So Rabbi Kiva Eiger is told of that in two different explanations of what exactly is the nature of the heter of Stam Kalim Eina Ben Yoma. He's told of that in the Machlokas and the Rajba and the Tur. I'm going to leave that for now because Emir Tzeshem will discuss it down the line. But you should know Rabbi Kiva Eiger suggests that would be a Tzad Lahakel. Ultimately, though, Rabbi Kiva Eiger doesn't use it in this case, because he claims it should be totally in that Machlokas Rishonim, Ayin Shom, take a look over there, where it's not our topic, and I'm afraid that we'll lose sight of what we're doing over here because of that. But Rabbi Kiva Eiger asked that Kasha, and he suggests that it should be taught in Machlokas Rishonim. Raborim pointed out to me that the Pischei Tshuva already raised this issue. I had missed this Pischei Tshuva. I had it underlined, but I did not remember that the two would be totally zebezeh. The Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat and Ches quotes a Chamudei Daniel that says that in a case of where he says Mutar Levashel Basar Legoy Bikter Shel Chalav She'ena Ben Yomo. He says black and white. You're allowed to cook fleishik tikka meat in an Eina Ben Yomo pot of a goy. The Kol She'en Asa Rak Mid Rabbanon Lo Gazru BeBishul Vahana. So black and white, Rabbi Narsh mentioned this in the Shir, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Gula La'olam, we just did on Kalabasar. By the way, Rabbi Bleich taught us in Issei B'Hetta, maybe Gula La'olam is only he claimed in the Shir in Chulin, that's only the first person that said it. You don't have to quote everybody else. So anyhow, either way, that's how, either way, the Pischei Tshuva here says, in Sifkat and Ches, he says that it would be mutter straight up. So according to that, that would be another reason that lichatchila, it's only a din b'di'evet, lichatchila, it's only a din lichatchila, but b'di'evet, one could definitely be mekel. Why there were choshesh in the first place could have been that there were some pots that were b'nei yoma, and there was enough of a percentage to be choshesh for that lichatchila, but one shouldn't be aware that that's another reason that one could be mekel. Okay, so that b'siyata d'shmaya is is issue number one that the Ramah had raised. The Isser of being chote tachas kedei rashel goy. Continues the Ramah, oid kasfu, the second chshash. This chshash comes from the Marivail, which could be found also in the Isser Veheter that I have photocopied for you in the booklet on the second page. By the way, on the first page, Chacham Avadya, in Hey Chavtes of Yichaveh Das, suggests a very interesting teretz to Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha. The Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha, what about Dover She'ena Miskaven as being mutter when it's a suffix l'sha'avar according to the Taz? So he says a fascinating klal. If you take a look on the bottom of the page, he says that it could be that dafka by Shabbos, where it's meleches machsheves asra Torah, so then a suffix psik ratio is going to be mutter. But in kol haTorah kula, a suffix psik ratio would have to be machmir. That's how Chacham Avadya suggests. It's a fascinating idea. Whether you're machmir or mekel, the kol haTorah kula by Dover Shein, more machmir or more mekel by Shabbos versus kol haTorah kula is a Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim goes one way. Chacham Avadya goes a totally different way in his Chulas. We discussed this also last year. And there are Rishonim, in my opinion, there are Rishonim Lakan, Lakan Ulakan. But this is Chacham Avadya Lashitaso in many places that he holds that when it comes to Shabbos, there we would say, it's Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah, then you have to know what you're doing. But in Kol haTorah Kula, you don't need that same type of intention. Even if it's a suffix psik reshe, as long as it's not a pure Dover Shein Miskaven, then you're going to be Mekel. So that this Chacham Avadya is interesting in regards to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Tov, Shash number two. Says the Rama, Od Kasvu, De Ein La'arev Mayim Shehutchu Bahem Kli Basar, Im Mayim Shehidichu Bahem Kli Chalav, Velitein Lefnei Behema, Da Asurim Ba'ana. You should not mix water that has been used for fleishiga dishes with water that has been used for milchiga dishes and give it to a behema, because it's going to be asur ba'ana. Because basar b'chalav is asur ba'ana. In those days, it was pretty common that they would mix the two together, and they would wash their dishes. They would first wash their milchiks and then their fleishiks. It doesn't matter what order. The water is sitting there, so what do they do with the water afterwards? So they would use that water to feed their animals. What we would use today, some of us would use to water the plants, so they would put it outside for the animals. Tov. So says the Marival, you have to be choshesh. If you take a look, the Isser Veheter has it in Klal Lamed Sif Vav. And we're gonna see it first. I want to see it first through the eyes of the Shach, and then go back to the Isser Veheter. Says the Shach in Sifkat in Yutes, Hainu, what exactly is the Chshash? The Kishehidicham b'mayim roschim, when you wash them in hot water, the irvam kach roschim, and you mix them together when they're hot, then you're going to have bishul basar b'chalav. Halav hachi ein asar ba'ana. But points out the Shach, there had to have been bishul. Because if there wasn't Bishul, then it's not going to be Asa Min HaTorah. Then at most, it's going to be Midrabanan. Kivan Dein Asa Min HaTorah El Dach Bishul. What's the Oimik of the Shach? The Shach is saying as follows. The Shach is saying, it's possible that you could have Basar B'chol that's sitting in a pot. But at most, it's going to be Dirabanan. Because even if it sits for 24 hours, what did we learn? That Kavush is only an Isser Midrabanan. Zok Dehelig Yishach. Must be over here that the water was steaming hot. If the water was steaming hot, so then in such a case, then we would say that it's going to be basar b'chalav, that was mevusho, you'll have a shailov hano d'oraisa. When Rav Nemetzal Shlita was teaching this to me, he said to me, it's a little bit difficult, because at the end of the day, b'pashtus, this would be a kli sheni, not in a kli rishon. That this is already a kli sheni, not a kli rishon. In most of these cases, Rav Nevinsal thought that was the level of the chumrah over here. That the pashtus, this is a klisheni. And in fact, I saw the Prima Gadim was bothered by the question. He just says that Rav Nevinsal is right, and you got to change the mitzvahs. Take a look in the Prima Gadim, Sifkot and Yutes. Dasurim, says the Prima Gadim. Kasav Ashah Hainu Roschim. Uboru, the Keshayatza led us by the Klirishon Mikri Bishel. If it's a Klirishon and it's scalding hot, so then it's going to be Bishel. Ha Klisheni, but a Klisheni, then there wouldn't be a problem because it wouldn't be Bishel, and therefore it should be Mutter. Bahano. So at the time, I probably was not aware of this Prima Gadim, but Eina Chanami, the Prima Gadim was bothered by Rav Nevin Sal's Kashi. He says, Eina Chanami, you have to be matchik that this case was a case where the Bishul took place in a Kli Rishon. By the way, just another important idea to put into your pocket, the rule is that a Kli Rishon is Mevashel. In Hilchos Shabbos, in general, we say a Kli Sheni is nothing, except for Kali HaBishul V'Amei V'Nyam. But in general, Kli Sheni is nothing. We're going to paskin in Simen Kuf Hei that, and this is something that sometimes that a young Rav will make a mistake, he'll know the basic rules, and that is that Kli Rishon's Mevashel, Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. So if he has a Shaila in Hilchos Basar B'Cholav and Hilchos Taruvus and a Kli Sheni, he'll be matter right off the bat. However, if you look carefully in Simen Kuf Hei, there's a Rajba in the Torah's Habayis that says that even though there's no Bishel, like the Prima Gadim said over here, it's still Maflit Umavliya, that we're still Choshesh, that it has the ability to cause tam to be transferred. So it's paradoxical. On the one hand, it's not bishul. On the other hand, tam could be transferred. So tam iser could be transferred in a kli sheni as well. And that's the omic of what the Prima Gadim is saying, ha-kli sheni after maflut umavliya. That's this the Rajva and the Teres Habayis that we're going to have in Simen Kufei. So even though we've been going with the rule, kli rishon is mevashel, kli sheni is not mevashel, and we just saw it over here in pshat in the shach, at the end of the day, nekot haklal biyotcha, that there a kli sheni can't is maflet umavliya according to many opinions as well, and we're generally choshesh for that opinion. Okay, so comes along the shach, and the shach says it's got to be hot. If it's not hot, it's not going to be basa v'chol. Comes along the Prima Gadim and Rav Nevin Sal, they say, it's got to be a Kli Rishon. It's not going to be a Kli Rishon. It's not going to be Bishul. So, these are the two klalim. Derech Agav, it could be that maybe that was the Chumrah. That if it's Maflet u'mavliya, that somehow they wanted them to stay away from basar b'chalav. So really, Meikur Dedina wasn't Mavushal, but it's Maflet u'mavliya. So, Al Pi Alach, it's Mamish basar b'chalav. In terms of mamish basar b'chalav, in the sense that it's a mixture of basar b'chalav, but it's not derech bishul asur tayer. So then, in such a case, maybe they wanted to keep them away from that. So even before we look in the iser v'heter to see what the MS is, one could have argued that maybe in a chanami, Rav Nevin Sal is right. It is a klisheni, and that's why it's just a chumrah ba'alma. Chumrah ba'alma that most people don't know about maflet u'mavliya, so we want to make sure that you stay away from maflet u'mavliya, so then even in a klisheni, we're going to be machmir. Okay. Yes, Zach?
What do you mean, is that really a
halal? The answer is yes. And the proof is that the example that the Torah gives of having hanah from a nevela is giving it to your behema. But so that's how we learn out that then...
Also, the Ramah needs to seem that it's not your behema, maybe?
You could be.
So if you said,
you
just put it outside.
Ain't a chanami. If it would be a stray animal, then it would not be considered an isur or not. We're talking about where you have some type of benefit. But it could be the benefit is that you have a dog and I have a dog, and I feed you yours one day, and you feed mine one day. Then in such a case, that would also be anah. Yes, Yon.
Just to follow up on this question, the shach and sifkan and chav talks about like using the shampoo itself is not a problem.
We're going to get there, yeah.
So the reason is because you're not going to keep the butter. So the hanah that your dog is getting, you're saving money, is the water, not the butter. That's a nice question.
It's a nice question. Maybe we'll try to get to it when we get to Sifkat and Chaf. Rabosa Amita Shel Teira, I was already last time around, I think we said this, but now I'm convinced that this is Amita Shel Teira. It seems to me that the emes, in terms of understanding the schumra of the Ramah, is not what we were discussing in the Shach and the Prima Gadim. Because I doubt they had the Isser V'Heter. This is the second time we're doing this, right? That they didn't have the Isser V'Heter. This is the second time that we're saying another pshat based on being able to look up the Isser V'Heter. Here, you don't even need a fancy edition of Isser V'Heter. Even your grandfather's edition of the Isser V'Heter. You don't even need a computerized edition. If you take a look in Klal Lamed, Sivav in the booklet, if you take a look in the Isser V'Heter, the Isser V'Heter develops what we discussed in the beginning of Pei Zayin. He says that if you have something that's cooked, So that's derech bishul, that's going to be asur min haTorah to have hanah. If it's not cooked, so then in such a case, if it's kavush, then it's going to be mutter b'hanah u'bishul. We saw that in Pezayin Aleph, that it's going to be mutter b'bishul b'hanah. That's what the Isser Heter develops in... Oh, okay. Mutter b'hanah. Thank you very much, Rabbi Yom. Very good. Like the Rabbi Kiva Eger himself. It's going to be mutter b'hanah. Yafemah. So says the Isser Heter Lamin... Lamed Vav, he says, Yesh matirim mehaitaima lichatchila litein lebeema meyadacha kli shel basar v'chalav tzonim b'kli echad. There's no problem than to give them stuff that was soaking together because it's kavush is mutar b'ana. Va'afal pisha shori yachad me'es la'es, even though it was soaking there for 24 hours. Me'achar shem mutar b'ana. Va'ol me'achar she'em basar v'chalav mamish. And number two, it's not really basar v'chalav. It might not be the regular case of kavush, or it might not. You don't know that it soaked for 24 hours, or that it gave off time. And then he concludes, and this is the Marivayel, v'yesh machmirin ligro miatzonein basar v'chalav l'chatchila, but l'chatchila we don't want to create bigorein basar v'chalav. L'chatchila one should be careful not to be bigorein basar v'chalav. So the answer to the Shach's question, it seems to me, is that the chumrah was not by cham, it was by tzonein. And the chshash was as follows. To create basar b'chalav is dangerous, because someone thinks that this is going to be mutter, they're going to come to cook it. If they're going to come to cook it, they're going to be over the yisur d'araisa. So then in such a case, halacha would be, one of the guys had asked, is it usur to soak things together? So we thought maybe... How do you understand kavush is kemavushal? But even if you hold kavush kemavushal is just a melitza, it doesn't mean pshuto kemashmal mavushal. But at the end of the day, according to the Isser V'Heter, the halacha is I'll be asur to be goreim basar v'chalav to sit together. Where did I get this pshat? So this pshat I got from a fantastic posek, and that is the Sefer Yad Yehuda. Rabosai, if you're stuck in understanding pshat, in basic, in understanding a shach, in understanding a taz, understanding a Ramah and a Mechaber, and it's not something that's addressed in the Beis Yosef or by the Kadmonim, I highly recommend using the Sefer Yad Yehuda. Yad Yehuda in Os Tes Vav learns exactly, it's in the back of your in back of your thing. The Yad Yehuda, basically what the Yad Yehuda does, he was a posek in Karlin Stolen about 200 years ago. I love his style of analyzing the sugya. He goes back to the Kadmonim a lot of times to answer shach questions of the shach and the taz, and he goes back to this to the Isser V'Heter, and he makes the point that we just said. If you take a look at Os Tes Vav, so that would be the Amita Shel Torah in terms of understanding the chumrah. This chumrah is Einach Nani Vadavar Tzonein, and that's how the Yad Yehuda explains it. Tov. So that's B'siyat Tishmai taking care of Chumra number two. And now we understand exactly the nature of the way the Ramah said it. The Ramah said that it's kedai to be choshish for it, but at the same time, ha-mekelo hivsit, because there isn't a mi'ikr d'dina, it is a Chumra that was on the books from the Isser V'Heter. Yeah?
We also just have to imagine when the Ramah said in Seif Aleph, that any Chumra Torah, Chumra Ramah, is only the
Is that, right. In other words, that the Ramah is only saying it's mutter. Right. Correct. Or that somehow he wasn't discussing this exception, but there's no reason to believe why he wouldn't take that into account. That would be the only other way to go. Tov. Chumrah number three. Yes, Daniel.
So people ask on the Shach that if it's rotims, then how come you're concerned only with Anah, you should be concerned even with the Bishul?
Right.
But isn't the same question also now on this chat as well? If the problem is actually bringing them together,
right,
how come the Ramah needed to say that Sur Mahana? Why not say it's a problem to put them together because it's a problem to put them together? Why do you have to say because it's also Mahana?
No, so the answer is that the gedder of this gzera was that we don't want you to get benefit from Basar V'Chalav because we're afraid that once you're going to start getting Hana from it, then in such a case you're going to end up cooking or eating it. In other words, the moment in which we tell people you can't have anah, so then they're going to be discouraged. That would be the the explanation. Let's just see. I hear your kasha. I hear what your kasha is. Yeah, I don't have anything more to say than what I said. It's a good ha'ara. It's a good ha'ara, but I think the information supports. By the way, go through the Yad Yehuda again. Maybe he says a little bit more to answer your question. By the way, the edition the Beis Medrash is hieroglyphics. This is they've reprinted it. This is my personal edition, and it's a mechayev. To read. I think it's one of the reasons the Yad Yehuda hasn't been used very much. One of his descendants just reprinted it. But I think one of the reasons he just fell into disuse is just really, really hard to read. But I think that you're right. In the words of the Isser V'Heter, you don't need to formulate Hana in Zeramah to say Hana. It doesn't fit so smoothly, but I think that would be the Pshat. Okay, Chumra number three. Oy Kasu, Da Kli She'osen Boi Mayim. The chafifas harosh, the kli that they make water that's used for shampoo, ein l'shamish bo. The oisin, you shouldn't use that particular water. The oisin oisin, how do they make it? Me'efer she'al akira. They make the shampoo out of the efer and the kira. And then in the water, what mixes is basar v'chalav. So that water, just like the Isser V'Heter, was chosh and the marival, were choshesh for that water above, so too, along those lines, mashal ma davar doma, it's going to be a different makar, this is going to be the maril. The maril was also choshesh for water. In this case, was a different water. The klish osim b'mayin l'chafivas harosh, Virgilisu, on the Afer, it's Ragil, Lis Arif Sham Basar B'chalav. Why is that so? Again, it gets back to the Best Western oven. At the end of the day, you have a lot of people doing a lot of different things over there. And so you have this massive oven, you have a lot of firewood underneath, and all the junk falls into the firewood. No one even thinks about it because at the end of the day, it's good fuel. No problem. You got this Afer, you got this Basar, you have Chalav, you have all the people's leftovers, breakfast and suppers. It's all sitting inside this bonfire. And so in such a case, you have to be careful. That is the Chumrah of the Maril. And similarly, you have to be careful with the Kederos. You have to be careful with the Kederos that are used in these larger ovens as well. But b'di'eved, we saw you don't have to be choshesh. Okay. Let's try to understand what is this chumrah. Why the Ramah says that's going to be asr l'chatchila. What exactly is the nature of the isser, and what is going to be the reason why hamekel lo hifsid? So first of all, the shach starts off and he explains what the difference is going to be between the water and the shampoo. He says the shach is medayek. Rabbi say, follow this diuk. What did we say? We were always concerned about the water in the pots. Says the Shach, we're only concerned the water in the pot, but not the afer, not the shampoo itself. But this that we didn't say it's aser, lichafifas harosh, for the shampoo, sherei nene, because he's being nene, mishum de lirchots rosho, kivan sheina dover shalachila, loy choshvana, says the Shach, that when it comes to the shampoo itself is going to be mutter. What's going to be usr is the water as well as the pot that it was cooking in. The Ramah had said that it's usr to use this pot, that klishos and mayim, because it's going to absorb the basar v'chalav. Not only the water, but also the pot itself. It's an extension of what the Ramah had said previously before. So says the Shach, but wait a second. The shampoo is being made out of the Afer, the basar b'chalav, is already with mixed with the shampoo, so why wouldn't that be usher to use the shampoo itself? Because you're getting hana'a from basar b'chol, which was cooked. It was cooked on top of the afer. So says the Shach, a beautiful yisod. The Shach connects it to Tzadi Dalet Gimel. Everybody turn to Tzadi Dalet Gimel. Let's take a look. Tzadi Dalet Gimel, we have the following halacha. We have a case in which a pot became usur. We're not going to go through the details because we haven't started discussing blios yet, which of course is going to be a big part of Mirtz Hashem, our knowledge of Isser V'Heter. But you have a pot that's usur with blios. So says the Mechaber at the end of Tzadi Dal Gimel, Mutter Lasei Sasocho Peros Otzonein. You're allowed to put in this pot vegetables or fruits, as long as you don't heat up the pot, even though this pot is basa b'chol of the Mahadrin. Why? A beautiful lumdus. This is what the Rajba, again, the Rajba has, you know, Rav Miller heard Shum from Rav Salvechik on Rajba Torah Sabayis. There were a few times that the Rav didn't even give shir neither on the Gemara nor on the Shulchan Aruch. He just gave shir on Rajba in Torah Sabayis. The Rajba in Torah Sabayis is a beautiful, beautiful sefer. It's not organized, for lack of a better term, that I would say, in a modern way. That's why I don't necessarily tell the guys to learn Rajba and Torah Sabayis straight. But you know, the Rajba gets into the bones of every single sugya. So the Rajba says as follows: Kivan she'ena nena migufa iser. That a guy is not getting hana from the gufa iser. The iser of hana basar b'chalav is to have hana from the basar b'chalav. So if you have a pot, okay, that has tam basar b'chalav, if you're not getting the tam out of the pot and you're just using the pot, stach mutter. That's not called hana for basar b'chalav. Zakdei the geshach. That's the pshat over here as well in the halacha of the Maril. The reason why the Maril said that the pot is aser is because you can't use the pot to cook for basar b'chalav. Again, we're choshesh that you're going to have blios basar b'chalav. However, in regards to the issue of the shampoo, so the shampoo has tam basar b'chalav. It's true. It has tam basar b'chalav. But when you shampoo your hair, you're not getting any hana'a from the basar b'chalav. There's no hana'a that you're getting from it. So therefore, the Shach extends this halacha, and he says, kivan she'ena dvar achila. Since it's not a davar shel achila, then you come into the rule of pots and other items that you have to get hana'a directly from the blios of basar b'chalav. And if you don't, then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. There are achronim that learn kivan she'ena davar shel achila, anything that's not a dvar shel achila, then it's not considered hana. But the pashtus is as we just discussed. Rav Oren quoted to me from Rav Ben Narsha a nice mashal of a way of really crunching this idea, and that is, he said that what happens if someone cooked a carrot in a stew of basar b'chalav, and then he took that carrot and he put it on a snowman. He put the carrot on the snowman. Is that an Isra of Hana from Basar B'chalav? Of course that's not Isra Hana from Basar B'chalav. There's nothing about the Basar B'chalav that added to the snowman. So then in such a case, that's not called Hana from Basar B'chalav. So this, you could have said, might have been different. Now, nowadays, from what I understand, shampoos are in marketing are all trying to compete with each other by advertising the different tamim that they have, all the different things, the unique properties. So in a chanami, if it was advertised as tam basar b'chalav, so then it would be a problem. But otherwise, you're not getting hana from it at all. Yeah.
This is what Yomi asked. So with Hema, and here.
Right. So it comes along Yoni and Binyamin, and they ask, what's the difference between this and the instance of the Behema? Why is it that when it comes to the Behema, that's considered you're getting Hana? So I think the answer to that question is that the Torah's example of Hana is getting Hana from giving it to your animal. I'll explain a little bit more. Here, you're not getting any Hana from Basar B'chalav. It's not, It's not the pshat Yoni and Binyamin that it's a grama in Hana. Yesh lefalpel. Where's grama? Where's garmi in this Hana of v'chulei v'chulei? Yesh lefalpel. But that's not what we're saying over here. We're not saying that's just grama. We're saying there's nothing. There's no Hana spasar v'chalav. That's what Ben Narsh's example is. It's the Hana is coming from the carrot on the snowman. It's not doing anything more than that. In Kenim Advarim, so then in such a case, maybe you're right. Maybe in Grama and Garmi, it's a question, where do you draw the line about Hana? But there's Hana from Basar B'cholov in the case that we had in the previous Rama. Over here, there's absolutely no Hana from Basar B'cholov. And then in such a case, it's going to be Mutter. Just like the case that you're not getting Hana from the Kli.
You're saying because the animal's eating it?
Yeah. That's considered, you get Hana. How you explain that? But by the way, that is the biblical example of Hana when it comes to Machal Sasuris. In other words, this is not a chiddush of Hana. This is the makar that Hana, that Lakelev Tashlichu Noso v'chulei v'chulei, the makar of the Heter Hana. So this is, so now, Einech Hanami, if you're interested in Grum and Garmi, you'll have to, Grum and Garmi by Isurin, you'll have to connect that, whatever term you want to use. But here there's absolutely no Hana from Basval. Yes, everyone.
What's the metzias of this Afer? Is there other stuff mixed in?
Very good. Very, very good. Okay. So that's the next issue. The truth is, I really didn't explain at all what exactly is the Isser that took place in this concoction. I spoke about the shampoo, why the shampoo is mutter from the Shach. But we didn't speak about what exactly is the concoction that's Usser. But let's take Avram's question and let's ask stronger. Bechura, we have a very, very important rule called No Sein Tam Lefgam. And that is that if you have a Dover HaPogen that's mixed into the Isser, so then in such a case, then it's not going to be Usser. So what exactly is the Metzius of what happened over here? So that question is dealt with by both the Yad Yehuda as well as the Kresi Uplesi. It's alluded to in the Prima Gadim, again in Sifkatan Yudches. I think the easier way, the Plesi is alluded to, I think the easier way to go about it is Kedarko Bekodesh, the Yad Yehuda Zukimta is the easiest Ukimta for Halach Lamaisa. The Kresi Uplesi has a brilliant Chiddush that has been viciously attacked by many Gdolei Poskim in a nice way. We're going to discuss the Kresi Uplesi's brilliant Chiddush down the line. We're going to leave off the Kresi Uplesi right now as a big Tzarachiyun Gadol that seems to be incorrect Lahalacha, but we're going to see the Plesi's, we're going to see the Yad Yehuda's technical pshat in the Ramah, then see a big Chiddush from the Kresi Uplesi that most think that he's wrong, like the Prima Gadim suggests, and we're gonna learn his pshat, and then leave off with a Tzarachiyun Gadol. Then maybe we'll see if we could resuscitate in Simin Kuf Gimel. Most when they learn this Kresi Uplesi, they mention it because it's such a fascinating and wild Chiddush, but then they say the Plesi is not accepted at all. Aliba de Hilchus. So we'll see. Maybe we will be able to do Tchias HaMesim on this Plesi. So let's take a look at the Yad Yehuda first. His Mahalach and how to understand the Ramah, and then we'll see the Plesi. In Os Tezayin, the Yad Yehuda explains the Ma'aril in the following way. Again, last page in your booklet. Pashut. Daha Ma'aril lo chashash klal lo ha'efer. The Ma'aril wasn't concerned with the Efer. Again, what's the Yad Yehuda and everybody have to be bothered by? Why is this concoction going to be Usser and make the pot Usser if at the end of the day, says the Yad Yehuda, and many others, if at the end of the day, it's no Sein Tam Lefgam. If it's no Sein Tam Lefgam, then you're not going to have a creation of Basar B'cholav. So he says as follows, Pashut, the Ma'aril lo chashish kal Efer, Kiman de be'eshem u'uravim e'efer pogumhu, ve'eina ra'ui l'klum, ve'ein ze bishol basa v'chalaf. He says, Eina chanami. The shampoo is not ra'ui at all for achila, and that's why the ma'aril wasn't choshesh for bishol basa v'chalaf. Because it was a ray pogum. Ah, choshesh! By the way, this is going to be the Yad Yehuda and the place are both bothered. Why did the Ramban not discuss Bishul Basar B'Chalav? So that's his answer. Ein Hachanami, there is no problem with Bishul Basar B'Chalav. Achoshash l'masha nivla mimenu achakach bakdeira. But the chash is the ha'efer atzmo ein botam lifgam la'olam. Ach be'eshim u'rav bo ein aroi v'ein ze Bishul Basar B'Chalav. Says the Yad Yehuda Amitzius, there's Afer that at the time that when they mix together, the Basar B'Chalav is not going to taste very good, but the Afer is not a large ingredient. And therefore, by the time you get the Tam Basar B'Chalav into the walls of the pot, there isn't the effects of the Afer is going to be negligible. And if you are able to taste the blios, you'll only taste basar b'chalav, and you won't taste efer pogum. An ukimta in the maril. The Yad Yehuda does that. He'll give an ukimta. He won't give a lambda shetaritz. We're going to see a razzle dazzle mahalach from the crazy placey. Yad Yehuda won't give a razzle dazzle pshat. He'll give a technical pshat. But the question needs to be asked. So the way to present this is, at the end of the day, why is it going to be us? Or what about the efer that's pogum? The answer is, there is Afer Pogum, and that's why it's not Bishul Basar B'Chalav. But the whole Chumra was that we were Choshesh, that there's going to be Tam Basar B'Chalav. Which fits in, actually, in the presentation of the Ramah. The Ramah is saying, it's a Chshash Ba'alma, Hameka Lo Hifsid, but there is room to be Machmir that there's going to be Tam Basar B'Chalav. How much? Pogum, how much is not? Better not to even get involved with this at all. Don't use such a cleave. I make a low hip sin. Yes, Tanya.
He's just talking about how the afer was created, that original time the afer was created, that wasn't an issue.
How the shampoo was, right. The shampoo, when you make the shampoo, so you put the afer inside the water, but the shampoo also has basar b'chalav. So when you're cooking it, making it together with heat, so then it's not going to be bishul, because the afer is going to, will make it that it's not no Saint Tam l'shvach. But at the same time, once it gets into the walls of the Kedera, so then the Tam isn't going to be pogum. Again, this is it's a difficult ukimta in the sense that one could argue and say that if the Dovra pogum was there in the first place, then you should be choshesh for the basar b'chalav. You shouldn't be choshesh for the basar b'chalav if it's in that way in the walls. If you take a look, the Plesi has an entirely different mahalach. The Plesi develops a fascinating chidush that's based on a Rambam that I want to, again, I'm planting seeds for Basar B'Chalav and Isser V'Heter for the rest of the year. The Plesi develops the following chidush based on a Rambam. So we're going to have, the Plesi is going to have two steps to it. One is we're going to learn a chidush B'Das HaRambam, and then the Plesi is going to use part of that chidush to explain the case of the Ma'aril. The Rambam writes in Perik Yudal Halach Yudal the following. I have it underlined for you on the second to last page. Taf Nun Ches. By the way, I'm skipping. Let me not skip it, because it actually clarifies one thing. The place he quotes, the question that the place he's bothered by is the Tzemach Tzedek's Kasha. By the way, the Prima Gadim also quotes in Sifkat and Yuches. And he says, V'hine Arava Tzemach Tzedek. I think the Tzemach Tzedek is not the Lubavitcher Tzemach Tzedek, but the... No. Now I'm thinking about it. There is another great Tzemach Tzedek who is a Sfardic Gaon. But this, I think, is the Tzemach Tzedek, I think. V'hine Arava Tzemach Tzedek Hiksha. He asks, there's Efer mixed up. Vuhuno Saint Tam Lefkam? So it should be no Saint Tam Lefkam. That's the Kasha. He says that's a very good Kasha. And he says, let me develop this chiddush. Omnam Mavur B'Divrei Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perik Yudalat Halacha Yudalat a very fascinating yisod in Basar B'Chalav. Din Irev Dover Mar Rosh Velana Lutoch Machal Iser. Oshe Sriach Vihivish Ubotal Nechilas Adam, Hareze Potter, Dehavale Shiloka Derech Hanosan. If you mix something into Iser and you make it no longer edible, so then that's not an Iser Doraisa, it's Loka Derech Hanosan. And here Rabbi Osai is a fascinating exception for Basar B'Chalav, which you could have put in our list all the way in the beginning of the Zman, but I didn't want to confuse the Chevra. Avolim irev davar mar bikdera basa b'chalav hareza asur dechayiv afilu shloki derech hanasa. This is a fascinating halacha. If you add a davar hapogen to basar b'chalav, so then in such a case, it's going to be asur, because basar b'chalav is asur even shloki derech hanasa. In other words, when it comes to chaylev, if you eat it shelo kederach hanasan, so then in such a case, that's not aser, because the iser is the achila. But when it comes to basar b'chalav, the iser there is not dependent on derach hanasan. So therefore, if you add a davar hapogem in such a case, it's still going to be aser. That's what the Rambam writes. If you add a davar hapogem, it's still going to be aser to drink. Okay. The place then goes back and forth, whether Taisus and Shas agree with it. And then he says, Yiya Ech Shiyah, on the second column. Al Kolponim. Hadavar Mavur Barama. De Basa Bechalav Afilu Nasan Lato Chidera Shal Basa Bechalav Dover Apogim Biyoser. Mikal Makom. Asur. De Chayiv Aleh Shaloka Derech HaNasan. He says it's going to be asur because you're chayiv shaloka derech hanasan. By the way, the crazy place he, I believe, does agree, and he kamat says this. I think some achronim thought he was wrong because of this. If, however, you added a dover hapogen to cholov, and then you added basar inside, that's not going to be basar v'cholov. But if you had basar v'cholov, and you added an Erev Dover Mar, so then that is going to still be considered Basar B'chalav. Rabosa, hear the Chiddush? Fascinating. Zot the Rebbe Rabbi Yainasan. Now, sometime I'll explain to you why I refer to him as the Rebbe Rabbi Yainasan. Zot the Rebbe Rabbi Yainasan like this. Va'atam izukakim divrei Maril. Now I can understand the Maril. Da'al akira asher zov mikderes Basar B'chalav nespashim shamim mekoman. Deleka Efer. First, the Basar B'chalav came together before there was Efer. A new Kimta. Whether it fits into the words of Maril Yesh Lodin. There was no Efer there. V'nesru. And then it became Asr. V'achar kach. Kishibon l'toch ha'mayim Efer. Lasman rechitza. Ma bekach de Efer pogmon. Halo Basar B'chalav dekvar nesar ein amoyol pegima klal. It's called Basar B'chalav. Once it's called Basar B'chalav, if you're Erev Dover Mar, it's still going to be Asur. Hence, he says the Kedera is going to be Asur as well. Take a look, and let's see how the Prima Gadim in Sif Katan Yuches quotes this crazy uplasi. Umashe Kosev, ha crazy uplasi, Basar B'chalav, kol shebali de Basar B'chalav, osar achakach af sheno sein tam lefgam, lo nihira. He says that's wrong. The no sintam lefkam shari. Once it's no sintam lefkam, then it can't make the kedera aser, because it says it works out. It's bittul. So now we're going to have to start getting involved how no sintam lefkam works. Okay, I am the prima gadim. This is a very intense prima gadim sif katan yuches. We've already mentioned that prima gadim a few times. Sif se das yuches. But either way, this is the place he's pshat in the Maril. So as far as I know, we've got two tracks. Either we're going to take the track of the Yad Yehuda in terms of explaining the Maril, and that is to say that at the end of the day, we're not sure that the Efer mixed into the Kedera, and therefore the Kedera is going to have Basar B'chalav, or take this fascinating Chiddush to say that if you have Basar B'chalav that already becomes Basar B'chalav, if the Dabar HaPogim comes afterwards, then in such a case, it's still called Basar B'chalav, and it's going to Aser the Pat. Now, the obvious question that Achronim ask is, why is the Pat Aser? The pot is aser, because it has basar v'chalav and a davar apogim. If it has basar v'chalav and a davar apogim, what's going to go out into the other food? Tam pogim of basar v'chalav. So it could be it's aser to eat, but why should it be that it's aser to use the pot? Because the pot is going to give into the food basar v'chalav, which is pogim. Basar v'chalav, which is pogim, shouldn't be aser. So if you take a look in the footnotes, they quote many that ask that. And let's see if when we get to Simchut Kuf Gimel, whether there's a way to be miyashid. But at the end of the day, Rabosai, Tom v'nishlam, b'siyata d'shmaya, we did all the Ramaz Chumras, and I'm thankful for that. And I think that we have hezberim in all of all the chumras v'hamistayif. This is one of the most dramatic ramos, because each one of these chumras, each one of them open up, each one of these diyunim open up worlds of themselves. And I guess the Ramo was having fun by putting it all the way in the beginning of Basar V'chal. Maybe he wanted us to be mefalpel and all the different permutations. Who knows? But at the end of the day, it's some excitement for the beginning of Basar V'chal. I do want Rabbi Yamin to, because I don't, the guys have already are already ahead of me. I don't want to be the tortoise over here. So so I want to do one more sugya. Rabbi Yamin, and then I'll. Is your question? Do you think I could deal with it briefly? I'll tell you. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
According to the place, then should he be usher
officially? Oh, so he asks that question. He asks that question, and he says no. He says when it comes to the isser bishul, that is not true. The Isra Bishul, when you have a Dover HaPogim, that's not going to be part of the Isra Bishul. Because the only thing we learned is that Shalok Kedera Hanasan. But to create a Heftza of Basar V'chalav, that it can't do. It's only a Din of Shalok Kedera Hanasan. It happens to be that in the photocopy, it's on the next page. But he's exactly, the Rebbe of Yenison's agenda is to address your question. Is to say that in a chanami there won't be an Isser Bishul, because Bishul you have to create a regular Chefta Basar V'chalav. The Shalok Derech Hanasan is a different din. Ayin Sham. Okay, beautiful. Rabosai, let's take a look. Let's do a sugya that I didn't put on the Marikons, but it's perfect to do in the last 15 minutes. A really beautiful Lebedika sugya that's Halacha L'maisa. A lot of what we've been doing up until now has not been Halacha L'maisa, so let's get in a sugya Halacha L'maisa. But even this sugya, and it's the nature of Issur V'Heter, is in our first few weeks, we can't be makif. Almost every big shaila in Issur V'Heter, you have to know all of Issur V'Heter to really get an appreciation. But we'll try to get one piece of it that emerges from Simin Pei Zayin, and that's the sugya of Achshaveh. Many of you have heard the term of Achshaveh. Rav Miller Shlita discussed it, because Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg discussed it on the Simin, and he had a fascinating application to the sugya of medications, where the medications need a hashgacha. Okay, so it's not just time that we're going to learn about urine and atzamos, but we're actually going to be talking about something that's extremely halach l'maisa. We're up to that sif. Zok deheligin lechaber. Hey zayin v'zayin. Hamavashel shlil b'chalav. If you cook a fetus with milk, chayiv. V'chein ha'oichloi. And so too, that would be if you cook the shlil with chalav, or you eat the shlil with chalav, then you're going to be chayv. Amavashal shilya, but if you cook the placenta, or the gidim v'atzamos v'ikare karnayim, or the horns v'tilfayim harakim, or the soft hooves. By the way, why do you say the hooves are soft? I get the pashtos and the metzius. He just said it's soft because he was saying why. Someone was asking hooves. Who's eating hooves? So the answer is that the hooves are soft. Or maybe there's another reason. Okay, let's see. V'tilfayim arakim, potter, v'cheina ochlam potter. And if you eat it also, it's going to be potter. Okay, so these are things that are not basar. One of the Talmidim asked me the makar. It's towards the end of Perikol Basar, kuf yudal, kuf tezvav. It has to be basar, gedi, not orgidim, not atzamos, not ikri kainayim. Zok de prima godim. Everything we're going to be discussing is in the prima godim. First of all, you know what? Of course, let's see where the prima godim is writing on the shach. So the shach chav beis potter v'chein ochlam hachanami isura mi ha'ika. Of course, the mashmos over here is the shach spells out the obvious that there is an isur, that it's asur midrabban dahainu. Let's spell out that even if you have atzamos, if you cook them with chalav, so then in such a case, then it's going to be asur midrabbanan. That's the mashmos of the gemara. Yesh lachar. I was talking with, I like to call them the Rav Yisraels. I was discussing with them in the morning, Yesh Lachkar, whether that's an Iser Gavra. In other words, is it that it's not Basar at all, it's just an Iser Gavra. We're afraid if you're going to be Matir this, then people will think that Basar is Mutter, because people think of Atzamos as something come from the animal, or was there some type of Chefza, and we had Nafkaminas at the time. But that's for morning Seder. Now, in terms of understanding the Prima Godim, either way, the Shach points out, the obvious from the Gemara is that's Asar Midrabban. Says the Prima Godim, Sif Katan Chav Beis, a bomb kasha. He says, everything's fine, it's a Rambam, it's a Gemara Kuf Yudalit, but the Minchas Yaakov asks a stira. That if you take a look in Taruvus, in Simin Sadi Tes, so then you'll see a totally different halacha in regards to Atzamos. In regards to Atzamos, we have the following halacha. Take a look, Rebbe Osech, Sadi Tes Aleph. Chaticha Nevela, Shiesh Ba Basar V'Atzamos, Shenofo L'Kderas Heter, Atzamos Ha'Iser Mitztarfim Imayeter Levata La'Iser. So the Tziur in Hilchos Taruvas, don't be panicked, it says Taruvas and Taruvas is really hard, even though the Seifa is true, but we can handle this. So the Mechaber says as follows, he says that if you have a Taruvas of Psar Kosher with Nevela, which is Aser, and the Iser Nevela has bones inside. So now I want to know how to decide which is the Rov, do I need Shishim, etc., etc. But how do I decide about that Samos of Iser? How do I look at that Samos of Iser? Is like Psar Iser, or we ignore it, that's not Basar, or, says the Mechaber, that we look at his Heter. Says the Mechaber, you look at his heter. Atzamos of Iser is garnished of Iser. It's absolutely no Iser. Frek de Minchas Yankov, that's what the Prima Gadim quotes over here in Sifkat and Chav Beis, in the Sif Seidas Chav Beis, Frek de Minchas Yankov. Wait a second. Didn't we learn in Hilchas Basar B'Cholot that Atzamos is still an Iser de Rabbanan? And here, what are you saying? Here you're saying that the Atzamos of Iser is mitstaref leheter. So it's a garnish me garnish. It's nothing. It's like potatoes. It's potatoes. And here you're saying it's Aser de Rabbanan. Is potatoes Aser B'Cholot? Absolutely not. So how could it possibly be that this is going to be Aser? It's a beautiful kash the Minchas Yaakov. So that's Tzadi Tesal. Comes along the Prima Gadim, and he quotes Minchas Yaakov's Teretz. Minchas Yaakov's Teretz is as follows. He says, there's bones, and there's bones. It's exactly the words that Rav Miller used. There's bones, and there's bones. When there's bones that are moist, so then they're considered basar. But when there are bones that are dry, then in such a case, then it's considered heter, gomer. Then I was shocked, the next thing Rav Miller said, he said in BMT 35 years ago, he said this 5 years ago, he said that in BMT they once went to Tzfat and they were eating a porridge and someone found a bone inside of the porridge. It became a shayla, he said this diun became a shayla halacha lemaisa, that they found in Tzfat, strange things happen in Tzfat. So they found a bone inside of the porridge, this ledido hava uvda, this mamish, this simon. So we'll be get involved of this shayla mamish. How do you look at Atzamos? Okay. The beautiful thing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is that there's no case that's impossible. Anything could happen. Anything could happen. Be'inyin Yoredeya, it's tragic. I sometimes feel uncomfortable even saying the story, but it's kedai to say. It's a very, very painful story to say over. Sometimes I'm uncomfortable recording it, but I'll say it anyhow. With the recorder anyhow, because it's a fascinating lesson, as painful as it is. They say that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal was walking through the Beis Medrash in MTJ, and he was looking at where the guys were up to in Hilchos Avelos. There was one chavrusa that was way ahead of everybody else. So Rav Moshe asked them, why did you get so far ahead? So they said, we skipped the simanim that are not halach lamaisa. Rav Moshe said to them, you never know when something's going to be halach lamaisa. This is a crazy legend. That they said that both of these people, when in their families they had a chasana, it was a case in which the chasana or kala was in shiva. And that was the siman that they skipped. They skipped the siman of the halacha. When a chasana and kala is in avil tov shiva, that was one of the simanim that they had skipped. And Ramesh said, you never know which siman are halacha. It's a spooky story. Nachzar l'inyanenu, but you never know when a siman is going to. Is Simon's going to be no gain. Now, Sardin Yenim. So comes along the Prima Gadim, and the Prima Gadim says as follows. The Prima Gadim says, there's Atzamos v'Atzamos. You have to say that Sadi test was all dried out. In our case, wasn't dried out. However, there is another way to go. There's another way to understand our Simon. Rav Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg Shlita suggested the following teretz. He said there's a fundamental difference between what happened in Tzfat and what happened in Siman Pei Zayin. What happened in Tzfat was clearly a mistake. As wild as things are in Tzfat, at the end of the day, no one's putting bones intentionally. Hilchos Taruvos, what happened over there, clearly is it fell in by mistake. No one wanted to have it. However, in Siman Pei Zayin, Siv Zayin, over there was Hamivashel. He wanted to do it. So Reb Zalman Nechemiah suggested to Rav Miller the following chiddush. He suggested that when it comes to the halacha of atzamos, this is the din of achshavei. Achshavei has a hidden sif in Shulchan Aruch. That's what they were mechadish here 45 years ago. There's a hidden sif in Shulchan Aruch of achshavei. And that is the first sif. We're going to find another couple of hidden sifim in Shulchan Aruch. The first hidden sif of Shulchan Aruch is Pei Zayin Zayin over here by the Atzamos, and there it's Achshavei. Einochanami, it's Hasnish Basar. It's not called Basar. It's nothing. Atzamos is nothing. You don't need to give an Ukimta Atzamos Rakos, Atzamos Yveshos like the Prima Godim suggested. It's not Basar. But if you're Achshavei, if you show it, give it Chashivos, so then in such a case like Basar, and that will be a beautiful Yishur of Zalman Nechemiah Shlita suggested 45 years ago. Okay, if that's so, by the way, he used to come all the time right here, right next door to say Shum. I'm not sure. I don't think Rav Miller heard Shum from then. I think even before. But that's why this area has a lot of his Torah. Then Rav Miller reported, Rav Zalman Nechemiah did. Oh, first of all, let me just give you a little makart. Let's just not quote Achronim and Terutzim. Just a little bit of background. Where does this klal of Achshavei come from? So it's a rush in Perek Bey's Simen Aleph. I photocopied it for you in the booklet. The Rush has the following case. By the way, I'd like to point out that the Rush never used the term Achshavei. As far as I know, there isn't a single Rishon. Somebody could do a Bar Ilan check. I mean, you could do it in a second. Someone could check if Achshavei appears, as far as I know, and I don't know very much. I'm not aware of Achshavei as a term ever used by any of the Rishonim. I know they've used the term Achshavei, but I mean for Machalos Asuris. If you do a search for Achshavei, you'll find the term Achshavei. But to say, what is Achshavei? Achshavei is that the Machalos Asuris is mutter, but because you ate it, you gave it Chashivus, and you gave it a Tchias HaMesim that became Machalos Asuris. What's the example that the Rush gives in Kol Shah? If you take a look, it's on the top few, about six or seven lines in Simen Aleph. In Psachim, in Kol Shah, the case is that if you have chametz that's burnt to a crisp, so it's nifsal me'achilas kelev, and you have some guy that for some reason he wants to eat into a chametz that's entirely burnt to a crisp. So says the Rush, five lines from the top, da'af al pi de'batla das ha'ochletz kol adam, mikol makom, kivan di'iu ka'ochle asur, there's an iser d'rabbanim. The Achrayim made this famous as Achshavei. Again, the Rush, I want to point out that it might be significant that the Rush never used the term Achshavei, but in the Achrayim, this is how it's referred to. It's the Taz, I wrote down the Marim Makom, in Simen Tov Mem Beis. Sifres, who uses the term Achshavei, I don't know if he was the first one to use it, but at the end of the day, it became part of halachic parlance, that term. The Taz uses it in the context of this Rush, and then hence we have the term Achshavei. It comes out quite a fascinating chumrah, Achshavei, then. If Reb Zalman Nechemiah is right, so now we've got the following phenomenon. Anytime you have something that's nifsal, me'achilas kelev, me'achilas adam, but this guy decides that he wants his basar b'chol, it comes out, this, if you like the Shekel Torah, you just bought into a big chumrah. And that is that even if it's a nifsal me'achilas adam, nifsal me'achilas kelev, so then in such a case, Achshavei is going to be awesome. Comes along with Zalman Nechemiah and he finishes it off with a beautiful piece. He says, he thinks that this Shaila of Achshavei comes back to our favorite non-Simen Pei Zayin Simen, where we've been dancing around a lot, Simen Pei Aleph. So let's go back to Lulei Saras Chai Shashua. We've been playing with Simen Pei Aleph a lot. Let's go back to another case in Simen Pei Aleph of Varma Yoit Simen Achai. Simen Pei Aleph Sif Aleph. The Mechaber has a fascinating case. What was Simen Pei Aleph? Hayotze min ha'asur asur. So what's an example of Hayotze min ha'asur asur? Oh, Chola Be'ema, that's Tmeya. That's Hayotze min ha'asur asur, as we spoke about last time. Oh, Treifa, And then there's one more case. It says the Rosh Umei Raglel. And the urine of an animal is also Aser. Kivsara. That's the Rosh. Yesh Mishamatim Umei Raglel. Some say the urine is Mutter. Ramban Perek Dalid Halachachov. What's going on with the urine? We're people normal? What's going on? So first of all, just stomp a little bit of chemistry. I don't know a lot of chemistry. My father does. My father once mentioned to me that urine is toxic only towards the beginning. In other words, the body expels the toxic parts in the urine through the initial urine. Most of the urine that comes out, let's say after the last 10%, I have no idea what the numbers are, after the last 10% is not toxic. They teach that in survival school, supposedly. So in such a case, the last 90% is going to be fine. So they would drink urine once upon a time. Why? There was a refuah. I forgot the name of the refuah. Anyhow, there was a refuah that they used to drink that they believed that part of the concoction was urine. And that the shaila was, is urine, that's hayotze min asa, which will be connected to human urine based on the previous year. What do we say? That there's no din of yotze min asa by a human being. But from a behemoth tmeya and so on, that's how they prescribed this type of concoction, and they thought that it had medicinal value. I don't think anybody thinks that today. But once upon a time, they thought that it had medicinal value. Okay, so that's what they did. So we have machlokas Rambam and Rashi. Zakhtar Salman Nechemya Shlit Rambam and Rosh Lashita Sam. The Rambam holds there's no such thing as Achshavei. So therefore the fact that you're Ma'arif, this Mei Raglayim, you say that you want this Mei Raglayim, means nothing. At the end of the day it's Nifsal and it's nothing, but the Rosh Lashita Sam Sachim holds the concept of Achshavei. And therefore you could take the urine and be Machshavit into Machol Sasuris. What a beautiful shtickel tyrant. But it's a nice thing to finish off with for Shabbos. So that's going to be Lishitaso between the Rambam and the Rosh, and it works out beautifully in Simen in Simen Pei Zayin. Therefore, Zalman Nechemya told Rav Miller that therefore what would emerge is whether medicines that are Nifsal Me'achilas Adam need kashrus, in his opinion, might be totally in this machlokis Rambam and Rosh. That it could very well be that even if it's nifsal me'achilas adam, by the way, we're not going to be able to be makif the whole sugya of medicines. You've got to do seven different sugyas. But one of the angles, one of the famous angles, is the angle of Achshavei, and he thought that the pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch, according, especially if his shtickel Torah is right, and if not, it's a shtickel Torah, but especially if his shtickel Torah is right, then you have in Siv Zayin, you have over there the concept of Achshavei, and you have Yesh Mishamate, but there's going to be room. So first of all, I'll just say one thing in regards to medicines. Rebelsky Zatzal, I still haven't gotten used to saying Zatzal, used to say, he thinks that there are many reasons you could be makel on Achshavei. We're going to see Ramesh's makel in this case, in Achshavei, shortly. But Rebelsky said, but one of the things that you have to keep in mind is a lot of times when it comes to medicines, is that it's not even nifsal. So if you have cough syrups and so on that taste good, and they have glycerin, and there's more glycerin, there's not enough bitul over there. So Rebelsky said, lekule alma, it needs to have a hashkacha. The question now is, Reb Zalman Nechemya is bringing in a big chumrah that Rebelsky's Zal wasn't necessarily choshesh for. And there are other cheshbonos, other reason to matter shloka derech achilaso. That's why I chose cough syrup, because it's derech shtia. It might be different than pills and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, often what will happen is the glycerin itself is edible. They add a good taste to it. So then in such a case, a cough syrup that's treif has a real, real problem to it. But Zalman Nechemya was going even further. Zalman Nechemya was saying even something that's nifsal, if he's Achshavei, then in such a case, you want to argue, according to the Rosh, it's going to be Usser, that's going to be Shtickel Torah. Bottom line, kashrus organizations are not choshesh for a Zalman Nechemya Shita. And the reason is that it seems to me that Ramesha Feinstein, it seems to them, that Ramesha Feinstein did not agree with this Chiddush. If you take a look in Orachayim, Chelek Beis, Simen, Tzadi Beis, I quote Ramesha's exact words. Ramesha says in a letter in a tshuva to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, I think Rav Ephraim Greenblatt had a chash, He's writing to him practically. He says, I'm afraid to take this medicine because it's treif. So Rav Moshe told him he should take the medicine. And Rav Moshe says, V'achshav eloi shayich bedover. And I was thinking to myself, when Rav Moshe wrote this, did he think that the world would turn on this? Now this sentence, it's a sentence that Rav Moshe wrote. This one sentence affects thousands and thousands of people in terms of their medications. This is one sentence. And the whole Mahalach that we just said is rejected because Rav Moshe wrote this one sentence. Va'achshave lo shayich bidavar shalakach l'refua da'af dvarim marim umusim notlan refua. Says Rav Moshe, what is achshave? In one line, Rav Moshe says a beautiful lumbus. By the way, the Achiezer has something similar. I wrote down the Mar Mokum that Rav Chaim Oizer has something similar. Rav Moshe says, what's the lumbus of achshave? The lumbus of achshave is that you're taking something that is not an ochel for most people, and you're saying, to me, this is an ochel. This burnt piece of bread is really bread for me on Pesach. People eat bread. Most people don't eat bread. For me, I'm eating this on Pesach. Says Rav Moshe, the whole world takes refua when it doesn't taste good. Achshavei is that you're taking something and you're turning it into an ochel. A refua is not an ochel. Why? Because everybody takes it as a dover mar. So there is an echshash of achshavei. Brilliant take that Rav Moshe has. He probably got it from the Achiezer. Even though the Achiezer there, if you take a look at the Maromakom, claims that there are many, that it's a big machlokas achronim. But at the end of the day, this is what's generally assumed. Rav Zalman Nechemya Shlita's Mahalach. Rav Miller left it that the Rav Zalman Nechemya said it's going to be totally zebezes. But then I was bothered. But I think many people are makel. So I looked around a little more and I saw that the reason that they're makel is because of what they hold. As far as achshavei is not going to be relevant when it comes particularly for medications. But the other items, the neina chinami. The problem is, what's Rav Moshe going to do with mei raglayim? Because the pashtus of mei raglayim is that they were drinking it for some type of medicinal thing, unless people drank it as a power shake, not as a medicine. So we have to look into that case and when they were drinking mei raglayim. Because the chura of Zalman Nechemya has a raya from the case of mei raglayim. And that was this whole shtickle Torah that the rush is l'shitasa. Okay, Rabosa, we'll stop over here. Mirza Hashem, we are going to pick up with Maimid, and we'll be wrapping up Siman Pei Zayin on Monday, B'siyata D'Shmaya, and on Thursday, we're going to begin Peches and Peites. Yes.